Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, the game in the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Caroline Fenton, D-Maze out here at Titans Training Camp. It has been a minute. Yes. We're back here at St. Thomas Sports Park. D-Maze, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. It's hot as fish grease, but I'm doing pretty good out here.
It is hot as hell out here.
Yeah, that too.
It is hot.
Yeah, but we're out here, which is a good thing, watching the Titans practice. Obviously, we were expecting the New England Patriots to be out here in a joint practice, but as we told you yesterday, New England declined to come, because of what happened in the game with their rookie Isaiah Bolden Saturday. So they scratched the plans to come here to Nashville, but they will be here Thursday in preparing for the game Friday.
Yes, yeah, so joint practices with the New England Patriots canceled this week. So Mike Vrabel announced on his radio show last night that they were going to do a blue and white scrimmage. So if you hear the cheers in the background, that's exactly what they're cheering for, is the blue and white scrimmage. Ryan Tannehill's team against Malik Willis's team. It's Stretch and Terrell Williams head coaching either of the teams. No Will Levis today. He was throwing around, didn't have pads on. But we'll be able to give you a full breakdown of what we saw from the scrimmages once they wrap up practice. We can give you that full report. But D-Maze, I want to start here. Also, Julius Chestnut, Titans running back, will join us in 30 minutes. Mike Vrabel will speak at the podium at noon, so we will have that live and in its entirety. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, who normally joins us at noon, will still join us today just a little bit later. He will join us at 12:30. So we'll get his thoughts, what he saw from the Titans in the preseason game, and the latest going on in the NFL, because there's been some tea going on in the NFL. So we will get Tim Hasselbeck's thoughts on that. But I want to start here. Because one thing that I have just been complaining and moaning and worried and anxious about, the Titans did something about it. Mm-hmm. Because earlier today, the Titans waived Caleb Shudak and Trey Wolfe, both of the kickers on the roster, brought in Michael Badgley, who was a name that's probably familiar to Titans fans. He's been with the Tennessee Titans before, spent 3 years with the Chargers at the beginning of his career, and ever since then has kind of been a journeyman. You know, went around to Indianapolis, had a stint here in Tennessee, was in Chicago, and most recently in Detroit. So the Titans at least doing something about the kicker position. And let me just say, thank goodness, hallelujah, praise Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing something about the kicker position. Because we've been talking about it ever since the beginning of camp, that both Caleb Shudak and Trey Wolfe, they were fine, but they always had one miss. Or a Caleb Shudak kicking the kickoff out of bounds against the Chicago Bears. Trey Wolfe missing from 45 against the Bears. And then again against the Minnesota Vikings, just barely eked out, what, like a 22-yard field goal. Mm-hmm. These kickers weren't reliable, and I've said it so many times before, D-Maze, I don't need you to be a Hall of Fame kicker. Like, I don't need you to be able to hit from 70, but I do need you to be reliable and consistent from 45 or 48 or 50, because that's how this football team likely, more likely than not, is going to win football games. So they at least have gone out and found another option at the kicking position. I don't know if Michael Badgley is going to be the answer, and I know that y'all are all tired about the kicking carousel, but I'm just ready for the Titans to find that answer at kicker. I don't know if it's going to be Michael Badgley or not, but they're at least trying. Your thoughts, D-Maze, on the Titans and the kicking position?
Well, I mean, I don't see it any better until, you know, Badgley proves that it's better. If you look at his career, he's no better than the guys they just got rid of. So I will believe it when I see it. it's just been a revolving door with kickers. You know, you brought him in once. He played one game, had one attempt, and he missed it, okay, from 40-some yards. Then you cut him. You decided to bring him back years later. And if you look at his resume, it hadn't gotten any better. So what is it? The definition of insanity is doing something, thinking it's going to change constantly over and over.
Doing the same thing, expecting different results.
You're doing the same thing, and you're expecting different results. He is what he is. You should have just, you know, ran with the kickers you had and crossed your fingers and waited for somebody to be cut.
But can you cross your fingers? Is that a strategy?
I mean, is this a strategy going out and getting somebody that is no better than the guys you just let go?
If he is no better than the guys you just let go, then you cut him and you find another one.
Well, they need to figure this thing out. And I'm not blaming this on Ackerman because he can't kick the ball. Now, if we were talking scheme, then okay. But there's no scheme in kicking a field goal, okay? Either you can or you can't. I don't blame him for this. This is a team thing, meaning an upper management thing. Whoever is out scouting these kickers, everyone needs to reevaluate how they scout kickers because they haven't had a consistent kicker since Rob Baronis.
Yeah.
They haven't. And for whatever reason, this is a franchise that is used to having good kickers in the past. And for whatever reason, they cannot find one that can kick a football through a Nerf field goal right now. They can't.
And that's the frustrating thing. And I know that we probably have several listeners that are rolling their eyes in the back of their head and saying, kicker. Tell me about the quarterbacks. Tell me about the defense. Tell me about these receivers. Tell me about the 53-man roster. And I hear you, and we're going to get into all of that. But the type of team this is, this team is not designed to blow teams out by 27 points. This team is designed, really, we look at this team last year, and I know that last year is not this year. I understand it. You've got different weapons. You've got a different offensive coordinator. But so many games came down to a point, 2 points, 3 points, 4 points, here and there, that a lot of these games, NFL games, are designed to be close. There's a reason why we call this game a game of inches, because that's exactly what it is. The margin for error and the margin between winning and losing is razor, razor thin. Mm-hmm. And kicking can be the difference. So I understand that, you know, quarterbacks or defense or the offensive line are probably much more sexy conversations to have and to talk about. But the way that this team is going to win games is by a razor thin margin. And you can't do that. You can't win these games when you don't have a kicker that can hit from 45. I don't know if Michael Badger is going to be the guy, to your point. I don't know. He might just be the next line of kickers, a very average kickers that can't hit from 48 but can mysteriously hit from 52 and is inconsistent from 32. I don't know. But I admire them at least going out and trying to find a better solution. And if he's not the better solution, then you keep on looking.
I don't admire him for it. I mean, I would admire them if they went out and got somebody totally that hasn't been in his camp before. That has, you know, maybe kicked somewhere else or just coming out of college or has been out of college for a few years. I don't know. But this kid that they've got, he's an 81% field goal kicker. That's not going to cut it in today's NFL.
You're right. It's not going to cut it.
So, again, I will believe it when I see it. But judging by the past couple of years, I'm not going to be fooled by them just bringing in kickers. It's like, you know, until let the guys, you had these two guys in camp, let them kick it out. But then you release those two guys, you bring another guy in camp. I guarantee you, it's going to be somebody different in maybe three games. I guarantee you it'll be somebody different.
This is what I think that they're going to do, and this is something that Corey Curtis and I were talking about, you know, kind of on the sidelines when we were watching practice, that Badgley probably is going to be your kicker game one. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a whole bunch of kickers available on the market after they get cut after training camp. They may sign that kicker after week one, so those contracts aren't guaranteed.
Exactly, and I understand that portion of it.
I get that.
But again, it's in today's game, the way the brand of football that you play, the kicker is high premium for you. So you should have made sure that you had someone that can come out and kick above 81%. I mean, listen, you would want everybody to be Justin Tucker.
But there's a reason why Justin Tucker's Justin Tucker.
Exactly, and there's a reason why he will retire a Baltimore Raven, because he is the best place kicker in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. He might be the best place kicker ever in the NFL. So, to me, until they find a kicker, it's just another guy they throw out here with a different number. That's all. They need to figure it out, because the brand of football they play, games are going to be tight. They lost last year's opener. Why? Because they missed damn field goals.
And I'm tired of that. Uh-huh. I'm frustrated with that. That it's just been a revolving door, and it's, all right, we'll bring in another guy who looks like the same guys that we brought in before, and then we'll cut him and we'll move on to another guy. I'm tired of that. But you brought something up earlier. You can't put it on Craig Aukerman. At what point do we have to put it on Craig Aukerman? Like, at what point, like, what are his responsibilities? If we have been on a revolving door at kicker, and if kicker has been an issue for this team, and really special teams as a whole has been an issue for this team, what can we put on Craig Aukerman?
I think the scheme of a special teams, whether it be punt coverage, kickoff return, things like that, punt, placement of the football, even that to an extent, Stonehouse, you can't blame Aukerman. You just work on it constantly on his placement. But Stonehouse is a damn good punter, I believe. But in regards to the place kickers, I mean, you go out and you scout, you like what you see, and in your mind, you're hoping that whatever you did like on film or in college, that it now can translate to the NFL. And it seems like, you know, the last few years, what Aukerman or the scouting department liked on film or liked in college, it hasn't translated on the NFL surface.
But you said yesterday, we were talking about the quarterbacks. Uh-huh. You said that you put it on, you know, Malik Willis's development, Logan Woodside's development, or maybe lack thereof this past season, that you put that on the quarterbacks coach because you didn't see either of those develop. You haven't seen either of those quarterbacks develop. Isn't that the same with Craig Aukerman?
Quarterback and the kicker is totally different. There's a lot of things that goes into being a quarterback. There's a lot of things you have to learn. You just can't, you know, kicker. If you are a good kicker in the world, just you may have never played professional football in your life, but if you are just a good kicker, like, and you play soccer growing up all your life, or just, you know, whatever, and if you can kick, you can kick. There's no, like, either you can do it or you can't do it. No one can decide, okay, I want to be a kicker, you know, when they're 25, you know, or 20. I think if you're a kicker, you're a kicker. I can't coach you to be a kicker. I may coach technique on, okay, if the ball's to the left, to the right, you know, we work on a little bit of technique. But as far as this pure kicking, you can't coach it. That's why only so few can do it. A quarterback, there's a lot of things that goes into a quarterback. You may have a strong arm, but you may not have touch. You may have touch, but you may not have strong arm. You may have all the attributes and all the talent, but you have a hard time at reading the defenses and deciphering things. Malik Willis, same way. If you're just looking at his tools, physical tools, you would say he's an NFL quarterback, but you got to look deeper. Those are the things that need to be coached, those things that you need to go deeper on. That's why I said, you know, looking at Malik Willis coming into this season, it's because of, one, him, because he put in the work, but then, two, Charles London and Tim Kelly put in a lot of work, film study with him that has caused him to play the way he's playing now. You can study all you want to. You can look at all the film you want to. If you're a kicker, you're a kicker. If you're not a kicker, you're not a kicker. Aukerman tells you this is what you need to do. That is what you need to do. When those lights come on and you can't kick it through that field goal, that's you. It has nothing to do with Aukerman.
Then why is it so hard to find a kicker?
It seems like, I think because of the way the league is now, because I don't know if we had these problems you know, 20, 30 years ago. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like for some reason kickers were more reliable then, or maybe we just didn't pay attention to them and they still were like they were now, but
we really didn't pay attention to that.
Exactly. We just didn't really pay attention to because a lot of games didn't come down to the last second or, you know, they were hitting chip shots and, you know, point afters. It was chip shots no more than what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Now they're pushing them back. And now teams are electing to kick longer field goals. I think back then, if you crossed the 50, teams still, you had to get in between, I think, that 40 and that 30 for teams to think about kicking a field goal.
Right.
Now, as soon as you cross the 50, and some teams, even when you get to the 50, they believe their kicker can make it. So if you believe your kicker can make it, you're going to have more times than not that he's not going to
make it. But why can't this team find a kicker that they believe can make it?
I have no idea. And that's
the frustrating thing
that everyone is sort of wondering, like, why haven't – and listen, we may not be the only team that is dealing with this, you know, because we're not watching everybody around the league. We just know of the really, really good kickers.
Like Evan McPherson, for example, with the Cincinnati Bengals.
They drafted Evan McPherson.
Where did he get one of those?
They drafted him. They made it a priority to draft a kicker.
And it paid off.
And it paid off. Baltimore drafted their kicker, and it paid off. And I know some other teams have drafted kickers, and they may have paid off. They may have not. But if you want that position to change, you have to really be intentional about changing it, which means you may have to waste a draft pick trying to do it. And nobody really wants to waste a draft pick on a kicker. They don't.
I wouldn't even call it wasting a draft pick.
But you,
because if you find your kicker of the future, like let's say let's put ourselves in the 2024 NFL draft, with the whatever overall pick in the fourth round, the Tennessee Titans select best kicker in college football, I will say thank you, Ran Carthon. That is a draft pick well spent on a kicker that could be your franchise kicker that can kick from 52 and that can be your kicker of the future. He's a Hall of Fame kicker. He's going to be put in the Titans Ring of Honor. If that's how that works out, I would be elated because worrying about kicker is just, it's giving me gray hair, D-Mace. But again, the news of the day, Trey Wolfe and Caleb Shudak have been waived by the Tennessee Titans. The Titans have brought in Michael Badgley, who is kicking in practice today. We'll get a full practice breakdown whenever we are able to share the ins and outs of practice and the details of practice. The Titans, again, with a scrimmage today in practice since the New England Patriots. Can we say they were afraid of the heat and they canceled practices?
Yeah.
Since the New England Patriots were afraid of the heat and they canceled joint practices today. Also, before we get into what's coming up next, really scary story today coming out of North Carolina. Caleb Farley's home in North Carolina collapsed, and there was one injured and one dead. So Caleb Farley reported at the scene on Tuesday morning. He's been cooperating and talking with officials, so Caleb Farley is okay. But just a really scary scene, and we are, you know, sending our best and keeping him and his family in our thoughts and prayers. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem, call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
You like what's on the surface. It's the depth that they're going to continue to have to work on. Is the kicker on this roster, or do you think that that's going to be one that Ran Carthon will be looking at the waiver wire?
Well, if I were Ran Carthon, there are two guys live right here in town. I'd be ringing them up and saying, come try out.
Yeah.
One of them's Ryan Suckup. The other's Mason Crosby.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, Crosby is – those two guys are available. Robbie Gould's still available. Randy Bullock is still available. So, you know, they do have veteran options, but I feel like if they went that route, Terry, they'd probably wait till after week one where they don't have to guarantee the money.
I think you're probably right in that regard. I think – the biggest thing is, and it's so hard to replicate it on the practice field and even in preseason, although they were able to do it at the end of the first half of the Chicago game, it's so hard to know what's between the ears of these guys. They can kick 50-yard field goals all day long out here on the practice field and, you know, with only a nominal rush.
Aaron McCormick on Chase McCabe's show earlier today on the kicking situation, and I do think that they are probably right that, you know, whatever kicker it might be, whether the Titans are continue to stay on the carousel throughout the rest of training camp. You know, again, the news of the day, Trey Wolf and Caleb Shudak both waived by the Tennessee Titans. They brought in Michael Badgley today, and we'll get into the specifics of camp today, but not good from Michael Badgley today. Not good even in the slightest. So I think the plan is going to be whatever kicker kicks for you week one is one thing. Mm-hmm. And then if you sign another veteran kicker after that, the contract isn't guaranteed. So I think that that's probably the approach that they're going to take, is they're not going to be married to a kicker week one, and they might expect to see a few more kickers come around after week one. But like Chase and Terry McCormick mentioned there, and there's not a whole lot of guys available now, but I do expect after training camp, there's going to be kickers that are, you know, extra kickers in camp that teams have brought around. They'll cut those kickers, and then the kicking pool may get a little bit bigger after that. That's what you can at least hope, if indeed Michael Badgley is not the answer.
Yeah, you just hope that once the cuts are made, that there's a kicker out there that you can bring into camp after, you know, bring on the team after the first game. And, you know, if it works out great, you keep them the whole year. If it doesn't, then we once again go to the kicker pool to try to pull out a kicker to hopefully salvage, you know, the kicking games, you know, the kicking game in a sense. So it's a wait and see. I do hope, you know, Badgley cement himself as the kicker. But like I said earlier, I see it. I believe it when I see it. So we'll see what happens.
Odds that Michael Badgley is the kicker week two.
50%.
50%?
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah,
it's not
great at all.
Especially after what we saw from Michael Badgley today.
Yeah. I think a lot will be known after this preseason game, this last preseason game. I think they're going to give him an opportunity to, kick a 50-plus yard field goal. If I'm the Titans, once I cross the 50, this game means absolutely nothing. Once I cross the 50, I'm calling out for the special teams unit.
Let them rip.
I don't care if it's first down. I don't care if it's second down. Let it rip. Let's see if you can kick a 55-yarder. Let's go. It's second down, coach. I don't care. Get out there. See if you can kick it. Yeah, so.
Man, I don't think that you are wrong.
Nah, get Chestnut to do it. Hell.
When are open trials?
Let's see if Julius Chestnut is up for the challenge. We will chat with him coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game in the Game Nashville app. Joining us now is Titans running back Julius Chestnut. Julius, appreciate you for joining us coming off of that big game in Minnesota. How has that kind of carried your confidence into this week and now going into the third preseason game against New England?
Just excited, you know. It's just another opportunity for me to showcase what I can do and just go out there and have fun.
And then we originally supposed to have practices with New England this week, kind of pivoted now that the New England Patriots have decided to go back to Foxborough. What'd you think of the scrimmage today, Mike Vrabel's decision to scrimmage out on the field?
No, it was definitely fun. It was a fun day. It was different. Didn't think that that's what they was calling us for yesterday to tell us that we was going to do, but it was fun. Got out there and competed. Tried to simulate the same thing as if Patriots were here. So I think it was good. We built some chemistry with each other. Players that didn't play with each other before normally got to play with each other. So it was fun.
Titans running back Julius Chestnut is with us. You came into this team originally as a practice squad member, a name that maybe a lot of Titans fans didn't know. And then now you've grown into a name that Titans fans honestly can't quite ignore, especially coming off of that performance in Minnesota. What has been the biggest difference for you to come in as maybe an unknown guy and then now growing into your role in this running back room?
You know, I was, like you said before, I was an unknown guy last year. And I would like to say that I grown as a person in this NFL thing. So just overall, just growth is my goal, and people noticing me is just another way for me to showcase what I could do. You know, it's just other people mentioning my name and everything like that. So it's been great.
Now, Julius, does it help or hurt you as a running back, the way the NFL has sort of categorized the running back position as not – they're important, but they're not as important as, say, two or three other positions on the football field?
I would like to think that I'm important just because of my – I feel like I can do a lot of things, you know. So it sucks the way the game is now, but it is what it is, and I'm going to try to play the game as long as I can based off my abilities and try to play special teams as much as I can, get on the field any type of way I can. It don't matter what the coaches ask me to do. I try to do it. So it is what it is with the running back position now, but – you know, I just try to do what I can.
And I was going to bring up the special teams part about it because, you know, if you're not the lead guy, then you have to be able to do some other things on the football field. How important has it been to you, the special team aspects of this league?
It's been probably my main focus right now. You know, as deep as our running back room is, you know, we got such a great running back room. You got to try to find a way to get on the field and try to find a way to create your role on the team. And I've been trying to play every special teams I can. It don't matter what it is. So trying to focus on my technique, my craft, everything on special teams.
Now, what has been the difference with this offense based upon what you experienced last year with the coordinator last year Downing to this year with Tim Kelly?
I can't really tell the difference. I'm still learning it, you know. It went from learning one system to another system. So I'm still learning. It's a lot of things that we do different, but it's still a learning process for me right now.
So there has it been a drastic change in philosophies, or still the same philosophy, but we're running some things a little bit different?
It's definitely the same philosophy, kind of, you know, with our team.
Now, was it good to have someone? And I would know the answer, you know, but I'm asking you, is it good to have someone like a Derrick Henry in the preseason where, you know, he's not going to get a lot of run if he may not get none, but then that opens up the door for a guy like you to get a lot of running games?
No doubt. And just having him there as well, it helps, you know, it helps me on the field, being able to showcase what I can do, like I said, and him being on the sideline helps me talk to me, what he sees, you know, just taking notes from him and just trying to showcase what I can do is been great.
Titans running back Julius Chestnut is with us. Kind of similar offensive philosophy from last year to this year, but what are some differences that you've noticed from maybe this time last year until now?
You know, since we got a few different weapons on our team now, so we try to spread the ball out a little more. So, That's probably the main difference. We spreading it out, looking for everybody to be able to touch the ball a little bit so we can exaggerate our game.
Being in a running back room with a guy like Derrick Henry, I'm sure has to be, you know, very beneficial to you. What have you learned from Derrick Henry, not just as the position, but also with work ethic as well?
Yeah, no doubt. And you see every day he come in. He's hit about business. He's a great guy. On and off the field, he's going to tell you what he's seen. And shoot, sometimes he comes over and asks me what I've seen sometimes. So, and it's been great. He's a tremendous athlete. And I can't really replicate what he does because we're two different type of people. But I try to do everything I can to replicate what he does.
Now, can you replicate some of those workouts that he does?
Oh, no.
He's great, you know, dragging a tire up a mountain with a chain. All the crazy workouts that he does. So what are your goals this week going into this third preseason game, third and final game, and your final opportunity to be able to prove yourself?
First, just come out with a win. You know, I always want to win. That's my main focus. But being able to showcase what I can do and just have fun. That's really it.
Keep doing your thing.
Stay healthy, too.
Absolutely. Stay healthy.
Keep doing your thing. Stay healthy. Titans running back Julius Chestnut, really appreciate you joining us. Good rest. Good luck with the rest of camp.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right. We will hear from Mike Vrabel at the podium coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
You know, I just found out the news. Praying for him. Keep him in our prayers. a prayer for his family. Send my condolences. We all send our condolences. Just a tragic situation. I don't want to speak too much on it because I don't know all the details, but I just can't. You know, I can't describe the way he probably is feeling right now. And just let him know we're praying for him. We love him, and you know, we all here for him if he needs somebody to lean on.
Thanks, Derek.
All right, quick little tidbit from Derrick Henry there. We'll hear from Harold Landry in just a minute. We'll also hear from Mike Vrabel. We'll carry both of them live and in their entirety. I'm assuming that last bit there from Derrick Henry was keeping Caleb Farley in his thoughts and prayers. Really scary situation with Caleb Farley. His home in North Carolina collapsed, one dead and one injured. Caleb Farley is okay, but I know that we'll all be keeping him in our thoughts and prayers as well. But one thing that I wanted to hear from Harold Landry coming up in just a minute, how's he feeling?
Yeah, I think that's the question everybody wants to want answered.
And we were talking to TD a couple of weeks ago, and TD was talking about how he was really looking at Harold Landry, and he said the way that he was moving his legs and really moving on the side and getting those quick cuts, that from what he had seen, all looked as good as it could possibly look, putting a lot of pressure on those knees. So that's an encouraging sign. But again, we've always talked about this. It's one thing to be cleared by a doctor, it's one thing for you to feel 100% and feel that you had the same impact that you had pre-injury.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been cleared by the doctors.
Okay, he has to be. Yeah,
he's been out here on the practice field. But like you said, there's one thing to be cleared, and then there's another to feel the way you felt the previous year prior to the injury. I believe that, you know, it's going to take him a minute. I don't think we're going to see the Harold Landry we saw prior to the injury. I don't think we're going to see that Harold Landry possibly until the middle toward the end of the season. I think at the beginning of the season, he's still going to be filling it out. But I think as the season goes, if he doesn't have any setbacks, I think we'll get to see the real Harold Landry more so toward the middle of the season.
And I am afraid that you might be right. And I'm afraid that you're right, because if Harold Landry's not Harold Landry until the end of the season, then maybe this defense isn't going to be as explosive or elite as we might think it could be. And look, you still got playmakers out there. You still got, as long as you got Jeffrey Simmons out there on your defensive line, you feel good about it. And Danico Autry and Azeez Alshehr and Arden Key and everything that we've seen from those new additions so far in camp. But a non-100% Harold Landry versus 100% Harold Landry, two very different things.
Yeah, two different things. And, you know, that defense suffered a bit from a sack standpoint without having Harold Landry in the lineup last year. Bud Dupree was in and out of the lineup last year, and he never materialized to what the Titans thought he would after signing him as a free agent, giving him that huge contract. And then not having Harold Landry last year just put a dent in their defense. They still was a good defense, but just think how much better they could have been had Harold Landry been out there on the field. Now, they get him back this year. You hope that he starts off on fire. But if he doesn't, fans, don't get alarmed. Because I think it's truly going to take him that full calendar year plus some months to get back to where he wants to be.
I know, and it scares me. I know. But also, Mike Vrabel was up at the podium on Sunday in his, post-game media availability. He did mention that we could see some Harold Landry in this preseason game against New England. You think that's a good idea?
He's been practicing. They feel confident enough at this point to consider it. Now, whether he plays or not, that will be determined on Friday. But the coaches coming out saying there's a possibility he may play is a good sign. So they feel that, okay, he's okay enough that we can put him out there and know that we're not risking anything. So if he plays, then that's great. I think it'll be good for him. But if he doesn't, don't take too much into it.
I think that he should, just because he hasn't seen actual in-game real work in the middle of a game since that Cincinnati playoff game.
Yeah.
Tore his ACL in training camp this past season. So I think, hey, get him out there. If he feels good to go, and if we assume that he's going to play in New Orleans week one. We assume that he does feel good to go for the final preseason game. Get him out there. Let him get reacclimated. Let him knock the rust off. Throw him out there for a couple of series. He doesn't need to be in there for four quarters, but just let him get back to in-game mode. Mm-hmm. But Harold Landry is up at the podium, so we will send it over to Harold Landry now.
Probably just like the chance to tackle, I guess, live. It's been a while since I've done that. I'm kind of indifferent when it comes to the preseason games, but obviously, like, I trust, you know, Brave's judgment and, you know, what he sees in me as a player right now. And so if he thinks it would benefit me to go out there, then obviously I'll be out there. But yeah, just the tackling aspect of it.
No, how's the process for you, I guess, here from the film, when you first started coming back? How do you think it's gone when you're here maybe two weeks away from the season? How do you feel?
I feel great. I feel like camp's going great. You know, every day I come out here, you obviously know it's not going to be perfect. But I'm just focusing on and taking advantage of all the reps that I get and, you know, getting to where I need to get to come that first game. But, no, I think camp's going well. I feel like we're just out here, you know, us out on the front four are building that chemistry, and I just feel like I'm just really just taking it one day at a time, coming out here, trying to improve.
Every third day has been a...
For you, coming off the injury this year, how have things been different for you as opposed to the previous time getting ready for the season?
I mean, there's not really, like, I'm going to be honest, I don't really think about my knee at all anymore. Like, it's just, there really is no difference. Like, right now, I'm just literally focused on improving in every aspect that I can improve on so that I'm ready to go at my peak performance come game one.
So it's kind of built-in rest. You surprised that you haven't needed a day off, or they haven't forced you to take a day off along the way? Or
no, I mean, I think Braves does a great job of, you know, identifying, you know, what players need what each day. I think he knows that, like, every player is different. But, no, I think he does a good job of making sure that we're all getting the work that we need to get in while also, you know, making sure that, you know, he's taking care of us. You know, I think he has a good idea of, you know, what it takes.
Harold, what did you think about the scrimmage today with no joint practices? What were you able to get out of
something
like this?
No, I mean, I felt like today was a great day. You could see how competitive it was out there on the field. And, you know, obviously it was hot, but I feel like we all just went out there and competed. You know, we didn't pay attention to it. And we just all went out there and went to work. And I felt like it was a great day of practice.
Can you ramp up the same type of intensity going against in your teammates in an inter-squad game as you can in a joint practice with another team?
Yeah, I mean, the only difference is you just don't know Like, obviously, we've gone against each other all camp, so, like, you kind of know things about your teammates, obviously, as a player. But I would say the only difference is you just don't know what you're getting when you go against another team at a practice. But I feel like we always put in good work every time we step out on the field, and I think that's why we have success here, because we practice so hard against each other.
Who picked the teams, and what did you think of the balance?
I mean, I don't know how they went about the draft and how they did that, but I feel like it was good balance. It was competitive the whole time. I mean, it was a close game the entire scrimmage. It was a good balance. It was competitive.
You curious where you got picked?
I was happy, you know, obviously where I ended up. Nah, Braves told us about it in the team meeting. We went over it. Not yet. Braves just let us know at the end of practice, so I have to make sure that I reach out to him. But nah, I mean, it's like I couldn't imagine that happening to me. You know, I feel for him, obviously, and he'll be in my prayers. But it's just a... You just feel for him, for sure. Appreciate it.
There you go. That was Harold Landry up at the podium. Now, we'll hear from Mike Vrabel shortly. There was one thing that he said that really stuck out to me there. So the first questions that he was asked He was asking about, you know, playing in the preseason game, something that we mentioned that Mike Vrabel talked about at the podium, that we could see Harold Landry in this preseason game on Friday night. And look, I think it's a good thing because Harold Landry hasn't played in over a year in a preseason game. We're going on almost 2 years that Harold Landry hasn't seen real in-game play. He said, yeah, it's been a while since I've tackled live, but I'm indifferent to preseason games. If Vrabel thinks it's beneficial to me, then of course I'll be out there. Sounds like Harold Landry isn't interested in playing in a preseason game. That's at least what I took away from
You're taking away from it right.
Yeah.
He's not interested. I don't think he's too interested in playing in a preseason game, especially, you know, the last thing you want to do as a player is work, you know, miss a season, work so hard to get back. Everything is pointing in the right direction. And then in a meaningless game, you go out there and something happens again.
You think he's worried about injury?
I think he is. I think in the back of his mind, he would rather, you know, rather make it to the first game at least. Now, is he actively, you know, going to practice and things like that and worried about his knee? Probably not.
You can't be.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not. But when you're talking about a meaningless game where, you know, New England may not play many of their starters, in the last preseason game, you don't want to go out there and re-injure yourself or tweak anything again in a meaningless game and then end up having to miss, you know, a considerable amount of time. Oh, hell, you know, one game is a considerable amount of time for him because he missed the whole season, you know. So any games moving forward he missed is not good. So he want to make sure that he gets to the season healthy. And if that means, you know, not playing in the preseason, then I'm sure if you asked him, if Vrabel left it up to him, he would probably say, you know what, Coach, I'd rather not. I'd rather wait. I think I've gotten in a lot of good work. I'd rather wait until the season over. Because, again, you need me for the Saints game. You don't need me for this meaningless New England game.
That could be it. And I don't know. Like, I don't know how he feels or what his apprehensions are about it. I think it might just be, I'm Harold freaking Landry. I don't want to play in the preseason game.
But then I think some guys, you know, I think some guys are scared to disappoint. And what I mean by that is the head coach comes to you and says, hey, I think you should play. What do you think? In your mind, you're thinking like, no, I shouldn't play. But you don't want to disappoint your head coach because, like you said, the coach sees something in me, and obviously he believes I can go and play. Well, it's one thing for him to believe you can go out there and play. It's another for you to go out there and play and not injure yourself. You see what I'm saying? So maybe he doesn't want to, but because Vrabel is asking him, it's sort of the old school, it's not mandatory, but it is mandatory.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you don't have to play, but I want you to play. So what do you think a player is going to do? Especially a player like him that's just got this big contract, coming off an injury. What you think he's going to do?
And he even said that. If Vrabel thinks it's beneficial for me,
exactly,
I'm going to be out there and play. And that's what you – what are you going to do, say no?
Well, you're not, but it's not what's beneficial for him at this moment. It's what's beneficial for me. Like, I got to make sure I make it to the season because that not only helps me, but it helps us, you know. So, yes, he may believe it's beneficial, but what happens when I go out there and I may tweak something? Now you know who everybody's going to come looking at other than Vrabel? Me. They're going to come looking at me. Like, why did you decide to play?
You're always hurt.
Yeah, you're always – exactly.
You get that reputation.
Look, absolutely.
I get it, but I see it from Vrabel's point of view as well of, look, you haven't seen in-game work.
Yeah,
in a year and a half, like we need to get you out there. We'll put you in a series, knock the rust off, so that way you can be even better for the New Orleans game.
That's not going to make. I mean, playing in one game is not going to make him better and ready for the Saints game. He's going to be just as ready not playing in that game as if he did play in it. So, to me, honestly, there's really no benefit to playing, but. Hey, if Vrabel asks him, then so be it.
Can't play football scared.
Exactly.
We'll hear what Mike Vrabel has to say coming up next. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, everybody. Lady Luck here. And we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.